They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with mybookie.
Shit, man. That hunky muffin mess, my old lady? Got to be running coal upside down his head, you know?
Hey, home, I can dig it. No, he ain't gonna lay no more big rap up on you, man.
I say, hey, Sky. Subba say I won't sing. Pray to Jay, I did the same old, same old. Hey,
Mac yourself a pro, slick. The gray matter back, lot performers down, not take TCB in, man.
Hey, you know what they say. See a broad to get that booty yak him. Leg her down or smack him, yak him. Cole got to be, you know? Shit.
Airplane, 1975, Paramount Pictures, a so-called disaster comedy written by the brilliant Zucker Brothers.
Feeling down and dirty.
Lay that booty down and smack 'em, yak 'em. Sir, I speak jive. Barbara Billingsley with one of the great cameos in movie history with that exchange. Wonder if that would fly today. Of course, jive was more of a 70s thing. But still, I'm sure it'd be deemed horribly racist and unacceptable, but it was pretty damn funny back in the day. Happy Halloween, everybody. El Baldo here. Normally, we would have Mr. X on a Thursday edition to break down his takes on various things, including his picks for Thursday night. Unfortunately, he's had a family matter come up late and could not be here today. Said he would pass along his picks. I'm sure you can go get them at callmemrx.com. We wish him and his family the best. I will say the 6-2 Texans on Thursday night at the 2-6 Jets is one of the fishiest, stinkiest lines all year. The Jets are -2. I know. They're -2 when most people say, how is that even possible? You are what your record says you are. Maybe, sort of, sometimes not exactly. You know, the Jets have lost a lot of close games, and they have lost a lot of close games because their kicker, Greg Zuerlein, has missed a lot of kicks, field goals and extra points. In fact, they brought in like 6 legs, including the Narv dog, formerly of Green Bay, to try out to replace him. I guess Zuerlein's on the injured list now at this point. So they aren't really what the record says. Now, the narrative on the Nets, on the Jets, the narrative on the Jets began the week with guys like Greeny saying, this is the biggest disaster ever. This season is the biggest disaster of all time. Well, why are they favored? Well, part because Texans without Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs, who blew out his ACL, he's done for the year. And they were in a dogfight with the Anthony Richardson-led Colts. I love, in fact, I'll make it my play this week on Thursday night. I love the New York Jets -2. J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets. And I'll take the over, too, because life is too short to take the under. I've never seen anything like it, and I would say that it's fair to say you haven't either. Announcers haven't either. Baseball players have not either seen it in their lifetimes. It was truly a new low watermark for sportsmanship when it comes to fan interaction and behavior with athletes. We take you. Bottom one, Yankee Stadium, fly ball, Gleyber Torres down the right field line. Take it away.
Fly to right by Torres. Betts in the corner. Does he have room? Fights with the fan. And they're going to say that it's an out and fan interference. So an out, one gone in this first. It's the second time that Gleyber Torres has hit a ball that has ended up in fan interference in this series. He had the home run turn into a double back at Dodger Stadium. And yeah, Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan literally tries to take his glove off. Prize the ball out of there. A for effort.
Well, he won't be watching the game much longer.
Wow, there's he might. No just chance. From a TV, going to be watching this on the TV.
Wow, what a shit call from the otherwise excellent Joe Davis and John Smoltz. A for effort, and they're laughing like, ho-ho, look at that crazy Yankee fan. Vermin. That's what they are. And the way the announcers treated it was just sort of baffling to me. In any other ballpark with any other fan base, it would be properly derided and decried as that is completely unacceptable. What are you, 10 years old? Get your dirty hands off the players. They have a right to try to go into the stands and grab the ball. You have a right to try to catch it. You do not have a right to interfere with them trying to catch it, and you don't get credit if you pry the ball out of their glove. Total and utter dipshits. And yet the announcers started off the night by going, ho-ho, A for effort, I guess, says Joe Davis.
Home run turned into a double back at Dodger Stadium. And yeah, Betts has that ball in his glove, and this fan literally tries to take his glove off.
Ah, fuck him. A lot of us said, well, congratulations, you've earned a lifetime ban from Major League Baseball stadiums, although hard to say how they would actually enforce that. You could always just ride in on somebody else buying tickets for you. And then what are they going to do, facially recognize you? You could always wear the Bobby Valentine big nose glasses and mustache defeater kit, and I would imagine that would foil any such attempts. Of course, if you're a season ticket holder, which these two mooks are. Wait, is that a slur for Italians? Mooks? If it is, I apologize unreservedly. Fine Italian Americans. The guy's name, and this was the only funny thing at the end of it that I saw, which was somebody showing Tony Soprano getting worked up about, you know, Columbus Day being torn down as Indigenous People's Day instead. He ripped the ball from Mookie's glove is what he did. He was a brave Italian-American Yankee fan. And in this house, Austin Copabianco is a hero. End of story. Now, that's funny because it's riffing off a Sopranos episode in a classic scene. It's not funny when in real life, there's purported media members kissing this guy's ass, doing stories on him, and fans lining up to get a picture with him. He's the male Hawk Tua girl. Except, yeah, the guy that got the ball ripped out of the glove. A, didn't get to keep the ball. B, it was still an out, you dumb-dumb. And C, he got kicked out of the game. Now, here's where it's get even more interesting. Initially, the Copa Biancos, the brothers, because it was two of them, said that even though they were kicked out of the game, they were going to game five tonight as I sit here and record this at 7:30. And that caused ESPN, at least, to finally swing into action and go, whoa, 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 what? Is this true? So they called the Yankees and they said, is this true? And that was when the Yankees decided, yeah, we can't let this happen. We can't let these two morons be back in their same seats. So they refunded the tickets to the Capobianco brothers and then gave them away to a pair of pediatric cancer patients. Hey, total bullshit. I mean, refund. Fuck you. You should have to eat the cost of your tickets now until the rest of the season, and then you lose them the following year. Refund? Are you kidding me? And they were going to let them back in the building in the first place. Like, come on. They're just horsing around. Guy physically grabbed Mookie by the glove, and the other idiot put his hand on Mookie's wrist as he's kind of tiptoeing to get up to the probably 7-foot wall. This dum-dum said, I knew I'm in the wrong, and as soon as I did it, I was like, boys, I'm out of here. But he told ESPN, I patrol that wall, and they know it. Oh, yeah, you patrol that wall. Tough guy. Remember when ESPN called for arrests of a single fan who threw a single empty water bottle at Kyrie Irving? Says Aaron Torres from Fox Sports on Twitter. After he called all of Boston racist and ESPN lost their mind, but celebrate a fan grabbing and twisting Mookie Betts' arm in what could have been an injury, and I wonder why people don't trust the media. Well said. Jesse Rogers is the jackass writing for ESPN. It covers MLB, including the White Sox and Cubs for ESPN.com, and he's on ESPN 1000 in Chicago, and he, I guess, is at the ballpark in New York. Maybe he's a Yankee guy or a New York guy who just happens to live in Chicago now and does media. But still, to make these guys into heroes is absurd. Capobianco told Rogers, quote, we're hoping for a short-term ban. We don't want to lose the season tickets. Fuck you. No apology to Betts. Nothing. Just, we hope you don't lose the tickets. And you wonder, and this is why my Astro fan, Houston Scotty, is always up in arms about the preferential treatment that he believes the commissioner's office and baseball gives to the Yankees. It was the Yankees who started the whole sign-stealing episode, and they were just doing it with Apple Watches. And they were told quietly, hey, come on, knock that off. The Astros did it as well, as did the Red Sox in different ways, but the Astros got caught. The Yankees did not suffer nearly the punishment the Astros did. But yeah, this is a terrible look. Joe Dolan tweets, Steve Bartman hasn't been able to appear in public for over 20 years, and now we've got ESPN reporters calling this dipshit a beaut, because that's what Jesse Rogers wrote. Met Capobianco, the fan that interfered with Mookie, talked to him at a local bar where a bunch of other fans asked him to take a picture and get his autograph. He was a beaut. No, he was a moron. A moron who should never go to a game again. But hey, it's the Yankees. Oh, those crazy Yankee fans, they sure are passionate. People also comparing it to the Bartman treatment. I just mentioned one tweet about that. John Saperano says, not hyperbole, but this is a microcosm of how far we've fallen as a society. Bartman made an innocent mistake and had to retreat forever. These guys make a deliberate attempt to assault and will probably be millionaires by next month. I don't know about millionaires. But still, they'll probably be given tickets quietly by the Yankees or they'll let this thing blow over. It's bullshit. It's bullshit. We need to have one set of rules in order to keep fans from being jackasses. Oh yeah, speaking of that, so they're doing this stand up to cancer in the World Series. It's a big promotional deal with MasterCard. Look, everybody knows somebody affected by cancer, affected or died of cancer. Everyone is for continuing to find cures and treatments for cancer. The promotion is fine, I guess, although it puts such a maudlin feel into what should be a nice distraction to life itself. Hey, write the name of somebody that you know that's battling cancer or has battled or has lost their life to cancer. And so they pan the crowd and they show everyone writing, you know, with the names of people that they know. And what does it do in the end? Does it help? I guess it helps raise money, right? Because they've got the QR code and you can donate. And if it tugs on people's emotions, mission accomplished. I'm pretty sure, though, I don't know, pretty sure that our fundraising for cancer in this country and our funding of cancer research is robust. There may be some cancers that are extremely rare that don't get as much of the money and research attention that others do, but I don't know. It just seems to put a somber touch on it. But whatever, you're going to call me a monster for daring to say I'm not a wild fan of it. But if it raises money, it raises money. Of course, it also provides fans a chance to shout things like "You suck, Freeman," during the silence of the moment, even when it turns out that Freddie Freeman lost his own mom to cancer. There was right there. Don't know if you heard it. One more time. Yeah. I mean, I call Philly fans savages, and I mean it, but then again, it's also kind of tongue-in-cheek. I did lose a listener over it. I read that email earlier this year to you guys. Hopefully he's back. Well, maybe he's back. I don't want to say hopefully. If you don't want to listen, you don't want to listen. That's fine. It's mostly tongue-in-cheek. They're savages in Philly because they really, really, really love their team, and they can be savage at times. But Yankee fans are vermin. No question about it. Not all of them. I know a couple that are absolute great guys. A couple of guys we work with. Matt Schneidman, Yankee fan. The great Wayne Larrivee, super nice guy, grew up in Connecticut, Yankee fan, wears it proudly. Not vermin. Not those two. But the vast majority, the Copa Biancos, are exactly the stereotype that's been painted for Yankee fans. Pizza stains on their jersey, shouting, "Hey, yo!" A sense of, "Hey, people are here to see me. I patrol that wall." And then no remorse whatsoever, no self-awareness to go, "Yeah, that was kind of fucked up. A, was stupid, B, was fucked up, and I probably should apologize." Nope. To his credit, Betts said, "Doesn't matter. I'm fine. We lost. Looking forward to game 5, which is an athlete and a winner's mentality. Let's hope the Dodgers win by 38 runs tonight. We shall see. Speaking of viewership of the World Series, how's it doing so far? Pretty good. I mean, you would expect, right? Market 1, Market 2, Judge versus Otani. They better be decent ratings. The series up until this last game that went to the Yankees was not great. Both teams were hitting very poorly. If it weren't for Freeman, batting averages for both teams would be completely in the tank. Average viewership, according to Bill Shaken, 2024 World Series, 15 million. NBA Finals, 11 million. And that included Boston versus Dallas, a traditional big market team with stars, Boston, and a big market team that hadn't been there in a long time with stars. Should have done better than just $11 million. 11 million people, I should say, not dollars. Speaking of the NBA, ratings are down big right out of the gate. Awful Announcing writes that ESPN's opening doubleheader averaged just 1.6 million views, down 42% from last season's season opener with Victor Wembanyama, the alien, down in San Antonio. The Bucks Sixers did poorly, 1.7 million, down from 2.5 for Celtics Knicks in 2023, and Suns Clippers was at 1.5, down 49%. Wow. Of course, it doesn't help that the Sixers didn't play Embiid right out of the gate, and I don't think he's played yet. Clippers Suns, I don't know what the deal is there. New arena should have drawn some interest attention. The Thursday night game on TNT, Spurs Mavericks, drew a 1.4 million number. That's a 29% decrease. And the Friday game on ESPN, Pacers Knicks, drew 830,000 viewers, fewer than a college football game on ESPN2. Some are saying it's Adam Silver, the commissioner, who has completely turned the keys over to the players in this league. And while I think there's valid criticism to that, at least Silver realizes, look, we got to do something here. This is why he helped maneuver to make it so that in order to get all NBA status, or I think it's for MVP, you have to appear in a minimum of 65 games. I think it's 65. So he's done some things. The in-season tournament is meant to generate revenue. Their TV deal is insanely lucrative. They sell tons of merchandise and have tons of interest in Europe and especially China. The league financially is not in any danger whatsoever, but its overall grip on the viewing public in America continues to slip, and it's not good. And for many of us who would otherwise want to watch the league, it's tough at times because you just get the sense of even the players don't give a shit. But I'm an old guy, 56 years old, watched sports my whole life, dreamed about sports, fell in love with sports, thought I could play sports at a young age, at a certain level, like all of us kids did, and then found out as we got older and got into the higher leagues, you're like, yeah, maybe I'm not as good as I thought. Still loved every bit of it. What are today's kids doing? What are the Utes doing today? Not watching sports. The trend is continuing in which the younger demographics are not just declining, but almost outright collapsing when it comes to long-form sports watching. Part of it, of course, is that we have chopped up kids' attention spans into a diced bowl of tomatoes because of social media and the phones in their pockets. Plus, with all the compelling stuff they can watch on their rectangular 6-inch screen, why sit through Pelicans Raptors on a Tuesday night? It no longer contains the awe and the excitement that it did for us as kids and teenagers. I remember as a teenager, there would only be like 20 road games on TV for the Washington Capitals. About half of them would be on TV. And it was a special thing when they were. And I would go to my high school buddy Andy Janowiak's house to watch the games with him. He was also the guy that who's had rich parents that could afford a pair of season tickets to the games themselves. And so he and I drove out there to the Cap Center in his Pontiac Green GTO, getting some Popeye's chicken in Lanham, Maryland right before the game. Good times. And boy, I look forward to those days. And you're like, oh, the game's on Thursday. Let's get our homework done early and I'll go over to your house. We'll watch in your basement. Now, not so much. Hiring with Indeed, your search is over. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Indeed's matching engine leverages over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, constantly learning from your preferences. The more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Zabe. Just go to Indeed.com/Zabe right now and support our show, saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/Zabe. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC Diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie. To the NFL. Hey, Baker, put that Zin down. The NFL is sending Bucs quarterback Baker Mayfield a warning, saying that because Zyn is a nicotine product, it is banned on the sidelines and in interviews. He was caught popping a Zyn in on the sideline last week. Of course, somebody tweeted, yeah, can't use nicotine because it's addictive. Cut to commercial for Coors Light, DraftKings, FanDuel, booze, gambling. Okay, now we're back to the game. Of course, the NFL is completely hypocritical. Maybe they're trying to get some sponsorship money out of Zyn before they say it's okay to do that. Although I don't know if you're allowed. I don't know if Zyn is allowed to advertise. I don't think I've seen ads for them. Being that it's a nicotine product, much like cigarettes, probably can't do television advertising. To Detroit, Jameson Williams continues to get in trouble. Man, this guy. You might have thought, hey, after this whole gambling suspension that wiped out a year for him on something completely fucking stupid, I bet he straightens up and flies right. Talented young man. Could be a phenomenal player in this league. Well, not so much. He's now been busted for performance-enhancing drugs, out for 2 games. And while he's been out for 2 games, they busted him on a traffic stop that did not result in a citation or an arrest, but probably should have. He and his brother both had guns in their car. His brother's was registered to his brother as a licensed concealed carry weapon. The gun belonging to Williams was not, however, and should have resulted in a citation and an arrest. But according to the now internal police department investigation that's going on, somebody told the officer, and you could hear it on the body cam, okay, cool. So we don't have to do anything? All right, great. Thanks. Boom. He was off the hook. Now, Williams did his best to say, do you know who I am? Said Williams, quote, I play for the Lions, bro. I'm Jameson Williams. Minutes later, he said, bro, I play for the Lions. Maybe don't call the cop bro. Then one more time, minutes later, he said a third time, bro, I play for the Lions. The arresting officer told Williams his position did not influence whether he would be arrested. At one point during the stop, Williams' brother told police the gun belongs to him, but later on, Williams said, yeah, that one is actually mine. When asked about why he has it, he said, I got the gun for protection. Do you guys know where I live at? Detroit. Ooh, dagger. I say the five-tool player when it comes to NFL suspensions has to hit all five of the following. You ready? Gambling suspension, ding, he's got that. Performance-enhancing suspension, ding, he's got that. Gun suspension, we'll see. The fourth one would be domestic violence suspension. I'm not rooting for that because somebody is obviously going to be on the receiving end of that. And then the fifth suspension, weed. Yeah, recreational drugs. That's it right there. Gambling, firearm, PED, weed, domestic violence. That's it. Those are the five infinity stones of stupid that will put you into legendary status in the NFL. Then there's this. Oh, yeah? You think it's easy, huh? Why don't you try it? Tua Tagovailoa had some problems with the snap last week in their loss, their close loss to the Arizona Cardinals. And he talked about the botched snap exchanges and said the following.
Sure, it's as simple as catching the ball in the gun. But I would say I'm a pretty good shortstop guy. I have pretty good vision. I have pretty good hands. I mean, I'd like to see a lot of other people go in the back there and try to catch that ball too. You've seen it wasn't Brew's best, and Brew knows he can get it better, but it wasn't my best as well. But I'm just saying, to give perspective, it's not as easy as what it looked like sitting down on your couch eating chips.
Oh, he went there. The old sitting down on the couch, stuff in your face. Well, it's true. That's what we were doing, most of America. But there's one other key thing you forgot, Tua, and I like Tua. One other key thing you forgot. You're being paid nearly $60 million fucking dollars a year. And this is not supposed to be a difficult part of the job. It's part of your job. It's why you get paid so much. It's, some would say, maybe one of the easier parts of the job compared to how hard everything else is. But to go there on the, yeah, I'd like to see you try it, and then throw in a gratuitous snack food reference. Snack food. Come on, man. Be better than that. What does it really mean? Tough to say. So Anthony Richardson is benched for the rest of the year, Shane Steichen clarified on Wednesday, not just a 1 week and we'll see about it thing. Of course, Flacco, I think, is bound to, not that I'm rooting for it, bound to get hurt at some point. So I would imagine that Richardson makes another appearance before the year is over. I did watch Dan Orlovsky's film breakdown of his game and of the first half in particular, where he was 2-for-14, 2-for-15, whatever it was. And Orlovsky pointed out rightfully, look, there's a lot of great plays in here that just didn't connect. There's a lot of really good throws that were 1 inch away from or flat out dropped by receivers. And I agree with him on that. But at the end of the day, those plays should be offset by a lot of very easy throws to mostly wide open guys, because in the NFL, it's impossible to cover everybody on every play. It's the better quarterbacks who know how to diagnose before the ball is even snapped and make sure to make a ton of otherwise easy throws. And then if you hit on a couple of your big 50-50 balls downfield, you're really doing great. But that said, here's the stat to consider. And this is where I say, what does it really mean? Tough to say. A whopping 12.95% of Anthony Richardson's pass attempts have resulted in a PBU, pass breakup. Should it just be a PB? Because breakup is one word, not two. A PBU, pass breakup. This according to Noah Compton on Twitter. He's a senior editor at Stampede Blue, which covers the Colts. No other quarterback in the NFL has a rate of 10% or higher. I don't know if 13% is, quote, whopping, but he's 3% clear of the next guy. And so, therefore, it's an outlier. More of Richardson's passes has resulted in a PBU. What does it mean? Well, it either means that the receivers aren't getting open, or maybe he's throwing late in the intended pattern.
allowing the DBs to catch up. Maybe the ball position on his throws aren't quite what they should be. Maybe he's turning down other easier throws that are open on plays and then opting into a more challenging throw that ends up getting broken up. You just don't know. The Colts pass catchers, writes Compton, are also third worst in separation at the time of target, 3.2 yards per NFL pro. So if you believe that metric, they're also not getting open. Could be a little bit of both. It could be 70-30. You just don't know. How about what does it really mean? Tough to say. Part two. Jaywalking is now legal in New York City. That's right. Crossing the street with no regard to the crosswalks or the lights that say, okay, stop, now walk. Or in other words, the basic mechanisms that keep a large city like Gotham from descending into total and utter chaos. But of course, you know the reason why it's now no longer illegal, right?
Jaywalking is officially legal here in New York City. The new law allows people to cross a roadway at any point, including outside of a crosswalk. Supporters of the law say people of color were unfairly targeted for jaywalking by police. City data shows police gave nearly 800 pedestrian-related summonses in the first 6 months of the year, with 77% of them going to black or Hispanic people.
So what does it really mean? Tough to say. If they did a study of everyone who jaywalks during a defined period of time with camera technology and someone counting actually, okay, white guy, black guy, can't tell, that one's sort of olive color, but I don't know, where are we going to put it? Okay, how do we categorize Asians? All right. Either there is a racial disparity that is out of norm with whoever is doing the jaywalking, or it's possible that those groups jaywalk more than the others. That they say, oh, hell no, I can get across the street here. It's like playing a human game of Frogger. There was a study I remember once reading about on the New Jersey Turnpike in which they felt like, hey, you know, black drivers are getting more speeding tickets and they're being racially profiled on the New Jersey Turnpike. So they set up a study with some high-resolution cameras and radar, and what they found out was that black drivers tended to speed more, like a lot more. And of the most egregious speeders in terms of on the upper end, it happened to be that demographic. Could that account for why? Probably, but it's tough to say because a lot of things remain murky in the middle. And by the way, I'm not saying that racial profiling did not and never occurs. It absolutely does. Just what does it mean? Sometimes it's tough to say. Then we'll end on this today. So, the legend of how broken and hopeless the McDonald's McFlurry machines are has gotten to the point where even Donald Trump tweeted last week, if I'm elected president, McDonald's ice cream machines will work great again. If only it was that easy. Why are these machines so broken all the time? The Wall Street Journal has a story titled, McDonald's finds an unlikely savior to finally fix its McFlurry machine problems. This one dated October 28th, 2024. There is a new McFlurry cup as well. The old ones would have a plastic clear dome with a smaller cutout in the top, and you would kind of stick your spoon in there, and you would dig up your delicious and fattening and synthetic and sugar-laden and awful. I mean, awfully delicious, but awful for your health. McFlurry. And then you would scoop it in your mouth. The new ones have what looked like to be a temporary open-ended cardboard rim that's jagged on the edge, and the McFlurry sits in there deeper so it's not going to spill out or anything. I think it works just as fine. It probably takes less materials. You don't have to put a lid on it. Whatever. But why do the McFlurry machines break so much, and why has it become such legend that there are websites called McBroken? And why has it spurned so many comedians' set lists of jokes to do. It's all because the McFlurry machines are only serviced by one company, Taylor Commercial Food Service. And they don't let anyone else work on them. The machines are also complicated, and they also break quite a bit, need part replacements. And when you do have that go wrong, as a franchisee, you got one choice. Call the rep for Taylor Commercial Food Service. But a number of McDonald's owners have said that the Taylor reps are hard to get to come out in a timely fashion, that the waiting on them can at times be days, depending on location. So some franchises are like, well, we know what it is. We could fix it. We just need to be able to get in there and do it. Why can't they do it? Why don't they just say, all right, we're going to go in there and fix the doodad, the McDongle, whatever it is that's going wrong? It's because, get this, the McFlurry machines have software that they run on. And they're networked. And the good folks at Taylor, let me get this right here. The dominant insensitive monopoly in this area, Taylor Commercial Food Service, they're no dummies. They make sure to lock that shit down with software. They limit who can repair their devices or machines using software as their lockdown, digital locks. Everything from tractors to coffee makers, all these devices that have software in them, they're oftentimes used not to make it better or easier or more convenient, but to have more control over them. And of course, talk to each other when we're sleeping and conspire to kill us in our sleep. Anyhow, what has happened is that some people have said, look, there's a instructional manual that is on, not manual, but there's like a video on the web saying, here's how you hack into your own McFlurry machine, and here's how you fix it. Of course, it would void the warranty, and the warranty on these machines go between 1 and 5 years, says the company. So what did McDonald's do? They lobbied, and other manufacturers joined in, to the Copyright Office to grant a narrow exemption for commercial food equipment when it comes to this kind of digital hacking to unlock the devices that are, you know, pretty much hemmed into one service company. And they got it. The Copyright Office said, okay, you're exempted. Despite, I'm sure, the protestations and all the money that Taylor Commercial Food Service poured into Washington and their elected representatives. You know how democracy works. They're like, hey, bro, why'd you do this? I thought we had a thing, man. You were going to help us out. We got your back. You got our back. We give you money. Get reelected. You make sure that this shit stays the way we want it. Only we fix those machines. A company called Kitch, K-Y-T-C-H, offered devices that alert restaurant owners about breakdowns in ice cream machines, saying they could prevent damage. McDonald's warns franchises off of using those devices, saying they were not sanctioned and could pose a safety hazard, which, of course, Kitch denied. Kitch has now sued both Taylor Food Service and McDonald's. In other words, they came up with something that would help see problems before they became problems in the McFlurry machine. So don't say, people, that your government is totally unresponsive to the needs of the citizenry. Don't say that we are a completely dysfunctional shit show of a country. Don't say America is in her fat Elvis stage of existence. Some things we can get on if we bitch enough. And sadly, that's so we can all get even more morbidly obese, get on Ozempic, and then have horrible things go wrong and let the lawyers negotiate a massive class action settlement coming in 3, 2, 1 years from now. Who knows when that's going to happen, if ever. And if you're on Ozempic or some other semaglutide and it's worked great for you, great. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a pharmacist. I don't know. From what I've read, sounds kind of dangerous. Sounds like you're really monkeying with your own body's nutritional and gastrointestinal system. But look, if it's the only option, it's the only option. I hope it works out. Well, look at the time. I've prattled on by myself for nearly 40 minutes. I hope you've enjoyed today's Zabecast. As a solo Zabecast, I always get emails saying, absolutely, more of you. less of your guests, even though you tend to like most of my guests. So I give you this podcast, just me. And maybe I'll put myself into the starting lineup, just a me cast, once a week. My own opinions. So if you don't like them, come to me and say you're full of shit. Or just fast forward and skip. Or call me an asshole to your radio. Whatever you want to do is fine. That's it for me today. Thanks for listening. Again, I got the Jets -2 and the over. Mr. X did not send me his picks in time for this Zabecast. We wish him well with his family matters, and we'll welcome him back next week. And, of course, you can go check out his website, callmemrx.com. Thanks for listening. Have a great Thursday, and we will see you next time. They say to fully enjoy life, you should collect experiences, not things. Physical things you buy become outdated. They lose their appeal. But an experience lasts forever and grows over the years. That's why I want you to know about the Mervis Diamonds South Africa Safari coming this March 2025. Enjoy a five-star luxury adventure with native South African and longtime fixture on the DC diamond scene, Ronnie Mervis himself, leading the group. I've been on the trip twice, and it is spectacular. You'll fly to Cape Town, see the legendary Table Mountain, visit wine country and the spectacular coast. Then it's off to the Kapama Game Reserve to see the Big Five in their natural habitat: lion, elephant, Cape buffalo, leopard, and rhino. Finally, a tour of the Cullinan Diamond Mine in Johannesburg to see where the sparkly magic comes from. All told, 11 luxury days on the ground, all-inclusive, for just $6,300 a person. This is it, people. The banger safari trip of a lifetime. I've been twice with Ronnie. You will not be disappointed. I guarantee it. Book now. Space is limited, and it's filling up quick. For more information, go to MervisDiamond.com/safari or call travel consultant John Almeida at 888-722-4872 and tell him I sent you. Remember, life is short. Collect memories, not things. As the leaves turn and the air gets crisp, it is time for some serious action. Bet on Lord Football, from heart-pounding college rivalries to the bone-crushing NFL matchups. But that's not all. The ice is getting cold and the courts are heating up. Get in on the NHL face-off and NBA tip-offs as both leagues kick off their seasons. And if you want to get really nuts, bet on the election. Won't that be fun? If you've been waiting for the right time to get in, the time is now. Make your winning move today. Sign up at mybookie.ag. Use promo code ZABE, Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo to be eligible for all promotions. Once again, promo code ZABE to get in on the sweet action. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere with MyBookie.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Marino says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Marino is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. Marino was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Trump-endorsed MAGA extremist Bernie Marino says he wants to move Ohio forward. He wants to make America great again. For whom? For people of color? For black people? Nah, Marino is just looking out for himself and his white supremacist MAGA buddies. He doesn't believe in multicultural America and equality for all. His own company has a long history of being sued for discrimination. He even called for reparations for white people and is firmly against inclusion and diversity programs. If elected, Marino will rubber stamp Trump's radical 2025 and roll back policies that'll directly harm black families, our finances, jobs, social security, and health care. And he'll turn back the clock on our civil rights. Marino thinks white supremacy will make America great again. Real talk, Marino was not for us and will never look out for us. We must re-elect Sherrod Brown, who's a champion for our community and all Ohioans. Vote to secure your rights and your future. Vote for Sherrod Brown, November 5th.
Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.